It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Perhaps the greatest moment in the history of U.S. wrestling occurred in the 1984 Summer Olympics, when brothers Dave and Mark Schultz both won gold medals in the Los Angeles Games. The Schultzes were the only brother pair to win both Olympic and World Championships. And the Schultz brothers won more NCAA, U.S. Open, World, and Olympic titles than any brother combination in history. A dozen years after the golden moment in the 1984 Olympics, Dave Schultz was shot and killed by multimillionaire philanthropist John DuPont, for whom he had worked as a coach. DuPont was convicted of murder and died in prison. In addition to the film Foxcatcher, Mark Schultz has written a book called Foxcatcher, The True Story of My Brother's Murder, John DuPont's Madness, and the Quest for Olympic Gold. He joins us now by phone. Mark Schultz, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
I want to go back to when you and Dave were kids. How did you both get involved in the sport of wrestling?
Well, Dave had dyslexia when he was, but he was a giant kid, and they put him in these remedial reading classes because he couldn't read very well, because the letters B, P, D, and Q would flip up and down and back and forth. And they thought he was retarded, and they put him in these classes, and kids would make fun of him, call him stupid. And so one day he slammed this kid's head open on the ground and took him away in the hospital. And he became known as the toughest kid in school, but he was a giant kid, like I said. And, you know, when he got to be about in the sixth grade, these other kids started growing and catching up to him in size. And I think going into wrestling helped him maintain his dominance and reputation as the toughest kid in school. He got so good so fast, and it just surprised me, you know, because I was always the better athlete, and but I didn't have very much confidence in myself. I couldn't talk to girls very well, so I finally decided, you know, in order for me to be happy and be able to live with myself, I'm gonna have to be able to beat up everybody in the world. You know, the only thing I knew about fighting was Bruce Lee, who could beat up like 20 guys at a time, and Fist of Fury, and Enter the Dragon. And I thought, if he can beat up those 20 guys at a time, I can certainly beat up my brother Dave and show him who's really the dominant one in the family if I can just learn what he learns. You know, Dave was so good, he became the greatest high school wrestler in the history of the United States. I mean, he took silver at the Tbilisi tournament, which is the Russian national championship. It's probably the toughest tournament in the world. He won the National Open Greco-Roman Championships, got the most falls in the least amount of time. You know, that's college guys, open division guys, anybody can go. He beat two-time NCAA champion Chuck Yagla. I started wrestling as a 16-year-old junior in high school after Dave beat me up that one day. And I was only a 130-pounder, and my record my junior year was 4 wins and 6 losses.
Obviously, you guys were able to, you know, both figure out how to be successful at this sport because you won gold medals at the 1984 Olympics, both of you. And one might assume that you would have been set for life in terms of endorsements and that kind of thing. Is that what happened 30 years ago?
Not at all. There was no endorsements at all for us. You know, one of the biggest problems was there's too many Olympic champions in 1984 because of the boycott. And Dave and I were the only wrestlers. We're the only Olympic champion, 84 Olympic champions, to win world championships the year before and the year after the Olympics. But, you know, the wrestling is such a hard sport. It doesn't attract many people. And it's a small world, but it's a tight-knit community, you know, where you have to earn your right, you know, your respect.
Is that how John DuPont enters the picture then? Because, you know, people like you and your brother, you know, need a guy, and the wrestlers coming up after you need a guy who has money to support their training and help them live.
That's exactly how he got in. He saw a sport of the toughest men on earth that were destitute financially. At least I was. I know a lot of people weren't, but I certainly was. I got fired from Stanford, and that forced me into a desperate financial situation with no car, no health insurance, no job, no money. And, I mean, I just you know, he was allowed to basically, you know, buy into the sport and for pennies on the dollar, and he wanted all of us to lie for him and say that what a great leader and mentor and all this stuff, and he wasn't any of those things, but he just paid us, and, you know, it was like part of our deal was, you know, if I'm going to pay you to compete and do nothing else but compete, you're going to lie for me. And, you know, I had a very difficult time, you know, and there's actually a scene in the movie that describes this.
Do you have any idea who I am? Some rich guy calls you on the phone. I wanted to speak with you about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
I want to be the best in the world.
Good.
Coach DuPont has a vision. He would like Foxcatcher to be the official training site for the national team.
Mark, you have been living in your brother's shadow your entire life. It's your time now.
I promise you, I'll give you everything I have.
I am leading men, and I am giving America hope.
I spent my lifetime looking for a father, and I have found one in John DuPont.
It's just a very odd person. You know, he was an athlete, but he didn't really earn the respect that, you know, and I knew this was going to happen. I knew if he got into the sport of wrestling was just going to chew him up and spit him out, and it did.
Did he know anything about wrestling? Was he really a coach?
No. He was the opposite of a coach. He was a bad example. We coached him. He was the biggest loser on earth, but he just inherited all this money, and he was the only guy in the country willing to pay us to just compete. And with Title IX wiping out all the men's wrestling programs, he was the only game in town. So, and USA Wrestling wasn't paying us to compete, you know, and we're supposed to compete against professional Russians, you know, these guys that are, you know, they're paid by the government. They're one of the highest paid citizens in the Soviet Union and other Eastern Bloc countries. And, you know, and here we were trying to defeat them, and it was just an impossible situation. So I was very vulnerable to having my stability destabilized. And DuPont took advantage of that. And, you know, I never had a stable training environment, even at Foxcatcher, where you'd think, you know, he brought me there thinking this was just going to be a normal, average assistant coaching job with a normal average salary, but it wasn't. It was completely different. If I would have known what the job really was, I would have asked for $500,000 a year.
Well, prior to January of 1996, John DuPont, as strange as he had behaved, prior to 1996 in January when he shot your brother multiple times and killed him, was there any point at which you and your brother Dave thought that he was ultimately capable of doing what he did, of committing murder?
No. No one ever expected him to commit a murder. I mean, he carried a gun around with him, but he was a pentathlete, and shooting is one of the events. And he had a shooting range on the farm, and he would, you know, he would shoot his gun there, and, you know, he was a good marksman. That's, you know, so him carrying a gun around didn't really surprise us. We had no fear of him, you know.
You wrote that during their 48-hour standoff with DuPont, after he shot and killed your brother, the police warned you to stay away, and that they were right to do it because you would have killed John DuPont if you had had the chance. Talk to me about, as tough as I'm sure it was, and as much as I hate to ask you to relive it, those 48 hours had to have been just unspeakable.
Well, the 48 hours was nothing compared to the phone call I got from my dad telling me that DuPont had shot and killed Dave. You know, I knew he'd be apprehended. They had him surrounded, just a matter of time. They actually froze him out, turned off the heat, and he called some negotiator and said, "I need to come outside and turn the heat back on." I said, "Okay, we'll allow you to do that." And then they apprehended him.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Olympic gold medalist Mark Schultz, author of a book called Foxcatcher, The True Story of My Brother's Murder, John DuPont's Madness, and The Quest for Olympic Gold. Was it tough writing this book, Mark, and having to relive so much of this of the tragic death of your brother?
It was painful, but it was cathartic in a way. I wrote it after I won UFC 9. Basically, winning the UFC allowed me to go out a winner, and because I did that, I got so excited, and I thought, you know, I've had this life that's got so many highs and lows. I need to write it all down. So I did. And then I sent it out to a bunch of my friends, and it eventually made its way into the hands of director Bennett Miller.
What did you think of the movie?
I think it's the greatest I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but honestly, I think it's going to go down as one of the greatest films of all time. It's really a sublime piece of work. The performances are incredible. You know, I kind of ignored Steve Carell the first three times I saw the movie because I have such a negative association for DuPont. But this last time, I really focused on his performance, and I came to really have a deep appreciation for his talent and for all the actors and the director. I mean, Channing Tatum is just incredible.
Channing Tatum
plays Mark Ruffalo.
Channing Tatum plays you in the movie. What did you think of how he portrayed you?
Well, I think he got me down pretty well because this is the way I was when I was competing. I didn't talk. I was if you would have known me when I was competing, you'd have thought I was a deaf mute. But it wasn't because I wasn't intelligent. It was because remaining silent serves several purposes. People don't know what you're thinking. They quit asking you questions. They don't ask you to teach them any techniques. They get uncomfortable, intimidated, and you know all they have to go on is your physical performance. And it puts pressure on you to ratchet up the levels of your performance. And so and bottom line is words never won me a match.
And it sounds like you and your brother had quite a rivalry. Is that reflected in the movie?
Yes. There's a scene that portrays that rivalry very well. And actually, it portrays the entire relationship in a matter of minutes. It's really a piece of genius artwork by director Bennett Miller.
One last question I wanted to ask you, and that is, talking about John DuPont and the manipulator that he was and how he got his foothold, as it were, in this sport, even though he wasn't qualified to do what he did other than having a lot of money. Have things changed in the amateur sports world, particularly with regard to amateur wrestling, to the point where could a John DuPont get involved in the sport the same way that this guy did back in the 90s?
Well, Mike Novogratz, he's formed Beat the Streets, and he's got involved with sports. He's one of the heaviest hitters on Wall Street, and he gives money to athletes that win World and Olympic gold. But other than that, there's no real there's now the Olympic resident training program at the USOTC, US Olympic Training Center, but there's no money for the top wrestlers to compete. So things have changed a little, but, that's nowhere near what the kind of support that the Russians get from their government.
Mark Schultz has been our guest. He's written a book called Foxcatcher, The True Story of My Brother's Murder, John DuPont's Madness, and The Quest for Olympic Gold. Mark Schultz, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, a conversation with actress Isabella Rossellini about the one-woman show she's bringing to Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESN.